Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. And let's pray. Father God, we do praise you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that your word is going throughout this entire world, that lives are being changed. We thank you for its truth and what it says to our lives. We thank you, Lord, that it has the answers that we need for life. We pray as we look at it this morning, that we might gain your wisdom. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen. You do not have to be long in this world before bad things happen to you. I mean, think about it. The very first breath you take because someone just beat you and hit you. Although I hear lately they're not doing that anymore. This world brings difficulties in life. Bad things happen. And you don't have to be a bad person for bad things to happen. You could be a good person. And bad things happen in this world. A boy who runs after his ball and is struck by a car. A husband who sits by the bedside of a wife that he had been married to for many, many years and just watches her waste away from cancer. Single mother who works at a convenience store to make money and in the middle of a night a thief comes in and shoots and kills her. How can these things happen? Children abused, businesses collapse, homes destroyed. This morning we want to focus in on that issue, the issue of pain and suffering as we look at our fourth in a series on God Quest. And watch the video. This morning. And the first is, what is the cause of pain and suffering? What is the cause of pain and suffering? Look with me in Genesis chapter 2. Beginning in verse 4. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the heaven, made the earth and the heavens. When no bush of the field was yet in the land, and no small plant of the field had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain on the land. And there was no man to work the ground. And a mist was going up from the land and was watering the whole face of the ground. Then the Lord God formed the man of the dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living being. And the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God made to spring up every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Skip down with me to verse 16. Actually, verse 15. The Lord God took the man and put him in the garden to work it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, you may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day you eat of it, you shall surely die. God takes man, puts him in the middle, or builds a garden, puts man in the garden, and gives man a perfect environment. No pain, no suffering. If you read through chapter 1, you can see over and over, as I've showed many times, God says over and over, and it was good, and it was good, and it was good, and it was good, and it was good. God gave man something that was perfect. The Garden of Eden. And not only that, on top of that, God gave man a perfect spouse. Notice verse 18. Then the Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him. So out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the heavens and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. Whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all livestock and birds of the heavens and every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper fit for him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and while he slept, took one of his ribs and closed its place with flesh. And the rib the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Then the man said, that this at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Perfect environment, a perfect spouse. Only one thing God said he could not do, and that was to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He could do anything else he wanted to do except eat of that tree. Well, you know the story. Eve was tricked by Satan into eating from the tree. Adam was given the choice as to whether he would go with Eve or whether he would stay with God. And Adam rejected God and chose to follow Eve in rejecting God. And from that, we see the sin that Adam and Eve had done against God in rebelling against him. And when we turn to chapter 3 of Genesis, we find man hiding from God because of his sin. Running from God because of his sin. Passing the buck on to others for their sin and blame everyone else for their sin but themselves. And what I would like to see is that the answer to the question, what is the cause of pain and suffering, is not God. We want to blame God for every problem in our life. We want to blame God for everything that goes wrong. The Bible says that by his own folly, a man ruins his life, yet his heart rages against the Lord. The reason that there's pain and suffering in this world is because of what man did, not because of what God did. In fact, when God begins to call the curses down on man because of his rebellion against God, you'll notice down in chapter 3 and verse 16, it says, to the woman he said, I will surely multiply, notice, your pain in childbearing. Notice again, in pain you shall bring forth children. And then you skip down the chapter to verse 17. And to Adam he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. God is telling man the consequences of his sin for rebelling against God. And in these two short verses, he says, I'll multiply your pain in pain in pain. The reason there is pain and suffering in this world is not because of what God did, but because of what Adam and Eve did, because of what man did. And the effects of their sin is that in pain they would live in this world, and in pain they would work in this world, and that pain, both spiritually and physically, would be passed on to their children and their children and their children and their children, and ultimately to you and I. Who is to blame for pain and suffering in this world? It is not God. And we can't say, well, it's just Adam and Eve. Because when we are given the very same choice as Adam and Eve were given, we do the very same thing they did. We rebel against God. Man is to blame. What's the impact of pain and suffering? Well, in chapter 2, we have man being told that they should not eat of the tree. In chapter 3, we have man eating of the tree. And then the second question, what is the impact of their pain and suffering? Why don't you notice right in chapter 4. We have the family of Adam and Eve being affected by sin. Adam and Eve had children. First is Cain, the next is Abel. Verse 8 of chapter 4. Cain spoke to Abel, his brother, and when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother, Abel, and killed him. Can you imagine being in the family of Adam and Eve, and one of your children takes one of the other children out into the field, and your one son kills your other son? Brother killing a brother, a son killing a son. Cain, further down in this chapter, down in verse 13, saying that his punishment was greater than he could bear. Adam and Eve's family being affected by sin, impacted by sin. And then we saw in the video that it's not just Adam and his family, but it was Job and his family. And we're told there that, different than the case of Adam and Eve, Job was a man who was righteous and blameless. He feared God. He lived for God. He did what was right. But just like Adam and Eve's family, his family was affected, impacted by sin. We are told about that impact in chapters 1 and 2 of the book of Job. And then beginning in chapter 3 through chapter 38, Job and his friends argue over his suffering. They argue over his pain. His friends say that it is Job's fault that he's suffering and in pain. One of his friends, in fact, says he's not even suffering enough. Job argues back that he had done nothing wrong. And it goes back and forth, back and forth, back and forth for all those chapters. Turn with me in your Bible to the book of Job. Now I want you to turn all the way to the end. Job chapter 42. Remember, they've been arguing over and over and over, and Job has even argued with God about his pain and suffering. We get to chapter 42 over this whole issue of his pain and suffering. In chapter 42, verse 1, it says, "Then Job answered the Lord and said, 'I know that you can do all things, and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Who is this that hides counsel without knowledge?'" And then the verse we saw up in the video. "Therefore, I've uttered what I do not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know." Job, in arguing with God, and Job, in arguing with his friends, finally comes to the conclusion that in this whole issue of pain and suffering, that it is beyond his understanding, it is beyond his knowledge, and that he has argued about things that are far too wonderful for him to really ever come to a conclusion on. So what do we know about pain and suffering? We know, first of all, that pain and suffering, God is not to blame for it. We are. Now, that does not mean if you are suffering and you are going through problems that you've done something bad, therefore God's kind of, you know, beating you up over your own pain. Sometimes the pain and suffering in our life has nothing to do with what you personally did. But it is in this world because of the result of sin in this world. In fact, pain and suffering sometimes can be very positive. We always look at pain and suffering as it's, you know, a horrible, rotten thing, and there's never any good that results from it. But in Psalm 119, verse 67, it says this, Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. Psalmist said that affliction, trouble, pain, suffering, it brought him to God. Daniel chapter 4, Nebuchadnezzar said, I lifted my eyes to the heaven, and my reason returned to me, and I blessed the Most High God and praised and honored him who lives forever. It was pain and suffering that brought Nebuchadnezzar back to God and pulled out all the pride that was in his life so he could have a right relationship with God. We know that pain in our body sometimes can warn us that there's something wrong. If you got a pain in your body, it's telling you there is a problem in your body and you need to find what's going on. So what do we know? We see Adam and his family were impacted by sin. We see Job and his family were impacted by sin. And we know that our families today are also impacted by sin, impacted by pain and suffering that came from that sin. And that leads me to ask a third question that maybe you have asked. And it is this. When will pain and suffering end? When's it all going to go away? When are we going to reach a point where the pain and the suffering and the difficulties and the problems will finally stop? Turn with me to Revelation chapter 21. Remember in Genesis chapter 3, it said, in pain, and I'll multiply your pain. We saw that word used three different times when God cursed man because of his sin. In Revelation chapter 21 and verse 4, speaking of heaven, the Bible says he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death shall be no more, neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. For the former things have passed away. When will pain and suffering end? The answer is heaven. In heaven, notice God's going to do away with death. He's going to do away with mourning and crying. And he's going to do away with pain. Why? Because all the former things, the things that we deal with in this world, they're all going to be done away with. Unless you reject God's offer of salvation. And if you reject God's offer of salvation, I want you to know pain and suffering are not going to end. In fact, the Bible says they're going to get worse. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 to verse 14, 15. You can read it while I talk. The Bible tells us if you reject Jesus Christ, pain and suffering will get worse. I have sometimes been by the bedside of a person who had not received Christ as their Savior, and they died in pain and suffering. And I've heard people around me say, once they've died, at least their pain and suffering is over. That's not true. If you reject Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you do not come to Jesus Christ for salvation, if you do not place your faith and your trust in what Christ did on the cross to remove your sin from you, when you die, pain and suffering will not be done away with. Pain and suffering will get worse. But the great truth is that if you come to Jesus Christ, all the pain, all the suffering, all the difficulties, all the problems in this world, God's going to do them all away. And for all eternity, we will walk on streets of gold. We will sing praises to God. We will fellowship with fellow believers. We will learn more about God. We will no longer ever have to deal with the pain and suffering we had to deal with in this world. And we will for all eternity be in the presence of God. What's the cause of pain and suffering? It's sin. Man has rebelled against God. What is the impact of pain and suffering? Adam's family, Job's family, your family, my family. When will it all end? If you come to trust in Jesus and what he did when he died, when he was buried, when he rose again for your sin, I want you to know in heaven for all eternity, the pain, the suffering, the difficulties will be gone forever. Because Jesus Christ suffered and dealt with pain and died for you. Let's pray. With every head bowed, you may be here this morning and have never received Jesus Christ as your Savior. I want you to know the Bible says that if you will place your faith, your trust in what Christ did on the cross for your sin, you can have eternal life. You can have a relationship with Jesus Father, with God. But there is only one way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The Bible says there's no other name given under heaven whereby men might be saved. You must place your trust in what Jesus did to pay the penalty for your sin. If you're here this morning and you've already received Christ as your Savior, I want you to know there are some positive things that do come from pain and suffering. As difficult as it is, there are some positive things that can come from it. And the Bible tells us that for those who love God, God works all things together for our good, even pain and suffering. If you're facing difficulty and trouble in your life, turn to Christ. Trust him to work in your life. Trust him even to use the difficulties you're going through to help you to become all that he wants you to be. Father God, we thank you so much that in spite of our sin, you loved us and you sent your son to die for our sin. We thank you that through him we can have eternal life. And I pray this morning, Father, for those who are here and maybe are suffering, maybe are dealing with pain, maybe dealing with family troubles. Father, I pray that your grace would be poured out in abundance in their lives and that they would learn through Jesus Christ that they can do all things through the strength that he gives. Father, in the midst of difficulty, strengthen. In the midst of pain, help. And Father, I pray that you would take the things that we go through and use them in our lives that we might help others as they go through the very same things so that you may be praised. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This time we'll ask our ushers to come forward as we take this in. They kind of look at us and say, we're just kind of missing it. We're missing truth, knowledge, and how this world works. But the reality is, the only one who has the answer for the difficulties, the problems, the questions that people are asking is Christianity. Because we find the answers in the Word of God. And whether we are going through success or whether we're facing life's deepest, darkest pain and suffering, God and His truth is there for us. And even things, as Job said, that are just too wonderful for us to fully understand this side of heaven. God gives us the wisdom we need to learn how to live in this life. When this world is asking questions, when your friends are asking questions, understand that you have the answers to those questions. Because you hold the greatest book that you could ever hold in your hand, and that is the Word of God. Let's stand for a closing word of prayer. Father, we praise you. We thank you that your truth is truth. And Lord, even when we deal with the difficulties and problems of this world, we thank you that we can turn to you and find truth. Lord, I pray as we go out into this world that has been affected by sin and therefore deals with pain and suffering, help us, Father, to turn to you. Help us, Lord, to lead others to you. That even in the midst of suffering and pain, you may gain the glory. For we pray in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.